this evening in the book of Judges, chapter number 14. The book of Judges, chapter number 14. It's just good to be saved tonight. You know, when at Calvary once was enough, if it had just been one thief, he would have went on that cross. And I sure am glad he loves those sinners tonight. The book of Judges, chapter number 14. Start reading, and if you would, look right there in 13, verse 24. And the Bible says, a woman bare a son, called his name Samson. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord, capital, began to move him at times in the camp of Dan, between Zor and Ishtael. Samson, you can underline this, he went down to Timnath. He saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up, told his father and his mother, and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath, the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. His father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Samson went down, you can underline that, his father and his mother to Timnath, and he came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion, you can underline that, roared against him. And capital, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. He had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done, and he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. Verse 8. And after a time, he returned to take her. He had turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees. And honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and his mother. And he gave them, they did eat. But he told them, not them what he had taken, the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Thank you for standing tonight. I'd like to preach on this subject this evening. On the teachings of Timnath. The teachings at Timnath. Here we find a Bible character that we've all heard many times, even in Sunday school, named Samson. I don't think Samson, Brother Lee, was a great stature of a man, because God always loves to get the honor and the glory out of what He's doing. And I found out a lot of times when you stay little in the Bible, you have a tendency to come out a lot bigger and a lot better. And we find, first of all, in Judges 13, the qualifications of Samson being a Nazarite. God had a special purpose for him. The Bible said in Judges 13, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. That's pretty big payback, is it not? Matter of fact, America's got some years of payback. And no doubt we're starting to glean in those payback years. I dread it for my children and my grandchildren. I dread it for a generation that knows nothing about the Spirit of God. And so the Bible said, and there was a certain man of Zor in the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said to her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And I found out in this Bible and walking with the Lord that when He says something, you can write it down. It's going to come to pass. He's just not taking up space in our Bible to tell us things. He's writing to inform us. So He says, Now, therefore, beware, I pray thee. Drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Now, I think that ought to apply to any real child of God tonight. We ought to look into the laws of separation. I don't think we ought to be shouting on our standards, but I think everybody ought to have some. Amen. And certainly one drink has always led to a drunkard. One joint of pot's always turned to a drug head. Everybody's took one. He said, I don't want him to touch wine or strong drink. Don't want him to eat any unclean thing. Lo, thou shalt conceive, bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now we pick up Samson and Judges 13:24, she bare a son, called his name Samson. The little old boy grew and the Lord blessed him. I could just imagine that mama and daddy had never had a child. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears and said, we're going to give you a young'un. He's going to be a Nazarite from his birth. I don't want him to drink wine. I don't want him to get his hair cut. I want him to be able to keep his vows. I want you to raise him right because he's going to be separated for me. And aren't you glad that when it looks like everything's hopeless, God raises a man up to lead a people? Thank God for the Moses in my life that God has raised up in a lot of barren places and put them in our life. Certainly here the mama and daddy, they thought, and this child was born. And the Bible says, as just a lad of a boy, the Lord blessed him. She bare a son, named him, and he grew, and the Lord blessed him. And then the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. I'm glad I'm in the right camp tonight. There's a lot of folks, they don't know what camp they're in. They don't know if they're a pig or a possum, but I'm glad I know what I am tonight. I want to say I'm in the Baptist camp. I'm in the Baptist camp because I've got Baptist beliefs. And I believe that it corresponds and correlates to the Bible. I believe what God does, He does forever. Somebody say amen right there. I believe the Word of God is still the Word of God. I don't believe it's no error in it all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Matter of fact, I even believe the maps in my Bible. I believe everything and anything that's in the Word of God. I don't think that we need any new light. I don't believe there's no new revelation. There's nothing new under man under the sun. What God has said, He said it. He's done saying it. We got a copy of it and we can see what He said. And I'm glad I'm in the right camp where the Spirit of God moves from time to time. Wouldn't it be boring to go to church when you know whatever thing was going to go on? The Spirit of God began to move at times. You'll notice that. You can underline it. Wasn't every time they met. I wish it would, but then we'd really get sorry, wouldn't we? We'd go to taking for granted the Spirit of God. That's a lot of times, you know, when we got a lot in our checking, we think everybody lives that way, but when it gets down there to nothing, we start praying more. We start appreciating what God's given us. Amen. And so certainly said at times, the Spirit of God began to move him in the camp of Dan. And now the Bible said in chapter 14, verse number 1, I want to give you my first point tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, the law that exposed him. The law that exposed him. Now, in this time, the law was very prevalent. And here we've already seen the background of how that he's to keep himself separated for God. But we find in his dealings and his daily doings that the law exposed him. Can I tell you, the law always exposes us. It always exposes just how bad we are. There's a lot of people, you know, they really think they have this mentality. Well, if I can live good and live according to the law, I can go to heaven. That is so contrary to the Word of God. There's nobody can keep the law of God. The law is perfect, and we are sinful. We're wicked and wretched. And the law just shows us how bad we are. But I'm glad there's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we find out something that he did. He went down. I'd be careful about pointing my finger to anybody that's going in a downward direction. I can go to a place and a time when I got off of the right road and I started going down in some things in life. But I've noticed this, once you start going down, it's hard to get back up. Because he went from going down to going down again. Reminds me of Jonah. He went down, but he paid the fare thereof on a ship to Tarshish. It's going to cost you something when you get off of the road that God's told you to get off of. Now, I'm going to show you the grace of God in this picture tonight, if you'll just bear with me. The Bible said, now he went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman of Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. I think Samson was a little spoiled. I think mom and daddy thought so much of him, the only young'un they'd ever had, they might have let him get away with a little too much. Can I tell you, it's still all right to give him a good booyah every now and then by the good grace of God. Matter of fact, some of you need a booyah and you groan, amen. You out fooling around with the world and doing things you know not to do. You better be glad that God is a long-suffering and a graceful God. Me included. I'm glad He is a God of grace tonight. But I see maybe Samson's whining a little bit. There's a new show on. Brother Terry, Brother Michael, him like this. It's called The Duck Commander. I know none of y'all watch TV, but I do sometimes. And it's a pretty neat show. You know, these old boys in the swamp, they got to, and they need to shave. Somebody say amen on that. Buddy, they are ragged. Look, but I love, they shoot a Benelli shotgun. Somebody say amen right there. And the old boy told him the other day, he said, let me tell you something good about a wife. He said, it ain't all about the looks. And so I perked up to listen. He said, it's two requirements for a wife. Number one, does she carry a Bible? Number two, can she cook? Some of y'all get that after a while. And so the TV ain't all bad tonight. But I can tell you this, maybe he was whiny and he seen something that was attracted to that. That's just the way the devil gets us through the eye gate. You ever notice how many times your eyes has got you in trouble? I mean, when you was doing fine, all of a sudden the devil said, hey, look over yonder. Hey, look up. You ever seen no cow with her neck hung out across the barbed wire looking at all that over there? But she ain't looked at nothing that she's standing in. I mean, she's got all in the world that she needs on this side of the fence, but she's looking on that side of the fence. And so Samson, he seen something that caught his eye, and he forgot about the law of God. God had told him to marry his own kind. God had told him not to go the world and marry. He said, I want you to marry a saved girl. I believe that's still right and proper tonight. Amen. You camp out with the Philistines and you're going to marry a Philistine, then you're going to have you a Philistine. What's the Philistines do? They fuss and fight all the time. Amen. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of this uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. I can't believe he didn't ask his mama. But he did ask his daddy. But his father and his mother knew not that it was the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And here it is in verse 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. Now, you'll notice Samson went down, and his father and his mother to Timnath. It does matter where you go, because sometimes you may take somebody with you. And so we see this steady progress, this law exposed him. I want to say in Romans chapter number 7 tonight about some things of the law, I want to say the way of the law is straight. You know, the law is not bad. The law is good. Matter of fact, the way of the law is straight. Paul said something about it in Romans 7 and verse number 12. He said, wherefore the law is holy. And the commandment, oh, that's why the White House don't want them hanging in there anymore, because it brings conviction of their lifestyle. He says, and the law is just and good. He says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Now, Paul says the way of the law is straight. And then he says this, verse 15, for that which I do. He said, I ain't even got to sit around and watch nobody else. He said, I find myself doing it. For that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is to present with me, but how to perform that which is good. He said, I just can't figure it out. I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He said, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I see another law in my members, warned against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Matter of fact, if we will take more time taking care of us instead of somebody else, we won't have time to fool with nobody else. Oh, wretched man that I am. You ain't even got to look at your neighbor and wonder about her or him. Honey, you got all in the world. You can say grace over. Paul was one of the greatest preachers that God ever put a pair of shoes on. And he said, you know what? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind I myself serve the law of God, but with flesh the law of sin. Oh my, the way of the law is straight. Number two, the works of the law is strict. In Galatians chapter number 2, and in verse number 16, here Paul is writing to some do-gooders. They're telling him how good they're doing and the law they're keeping. And in Galatians chapter number 2, the works of the law, it is strict. He said in verse number 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be, there's that word we dealt with this morning, justified, how? By the faith of Christ. We're declared guilty by faith in Christ. Not by works of the law. Not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Law exposed him. The way of the law straight. The works of the law strict. But I'm glad there's a wavering of the law. It come by sacrifice. You see, God did not do away with the law. The law still the law. But in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, I'm glad this is in my Bible. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, it's fixing to pick up now. Who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He said, let me tell you why I'm going to heaven. The law exposed me, but I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I don't walk by the law, I walk by faith. And when God sees me, he don't see unrighteousness. Hey, he declares me righteous because I've been placed in his Son. And I thank God that the law don't save. It shows us we need to be saved. Christ is the finished work of the law. He says it's done. I'm glad He wavered the law for those that are in Christ Jesus. So certainly we see the law that exposed Him. Number two, look in verse number 5. Look at the lion that encountered Him. The lion that encountered Him. In Judges chapter 14 and verse number 5, then went Samson down. His father and his mother to Timnah came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, look what the Bible says. A young lion roared against him. He wasn't an old wore out lion. He was a young lion with sharp teeth. And he had a strong body. And you know, isn't it amazing how we see that not only this law exposed him, but this lion encountered him. I want to say the lion, the picture of the devil, he's a looking lion. You'll notice this, he loves to hang around vineyards. I'm glad I'm not only in the right camp, I'm glad I'm in the right vineyard. But you see, something was a problem here in my study time. He's going against the law. He's not even supposed to be in a vineyard. He's not supposed to touch the fruit of the vine. Hey, if alcohol's your weakness, you don't need to be down yonder on the corner in front of the pizza store on Maple Street. If tobacco's your problem, you don't need to be up here at the tobacco outlet in the morning at 8 o'clock. Amen. You see, we sort of get what we asked for. He's got out of bounds and the devil's met up with him. And I'm going to show you how good God is in a minute. I'm wanting to get there and then I'm going to close, let y'all go home. I know some of y'all are waiting on that point. But I can tell you this. Well, I done found out we better quit throwing rocks at people that's on the wrong path because we can all relate to where He's at tonight. How many times have you told God, I'm not going to go back down there no more, but you went back down there anyhow? How many times you told God, God, I ain't a-doing that no more, and you found yourself going down there again? So certainly this lion encountered Him. He's a looking lion. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse 8. Christian, you better watch him tonight because he's a looking lion. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Be sober means on guard, on your toes, be on your best game. Be vigilant, be aware, be sharp. Because, you ought to underline that, not because somebody will brag about your Christianity. But you better be on your A game because there is an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast look, not by the law, but in faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, he's a looking lion. He's looking for people that's around a vineyard. He's looking for people that's just living their life. He's a looking lion. Number two, I want to say that he's a leaping lion. You'll notice that Samson didn't tell him to come on across the line. I'd be careful not to draw a line in the sand and say, come on across here, devil. There's a lot of fellers been thrown out of the race because they drawed a line in the sand and said, come on over in here, devil. And when he got on up in there, they got more than what they bargained for. And I'm going to tell you what, he's also a loud devil. The Bible says he's a roaring lion. Don't he like to roar? Did you notice what the Bible said here about him? He said there was a young lion, and you ought to underline this because every word's in the Bible for a reason. He roared against him. Boy, that roar is what gets me sometimes. Matter of fact, it's not so much the struggle, the fighting with the lion, it's the roars that attack me more than anything. You know, he loves to tell you just enough truth and then lie to cover it up. Isn't it amazing how he's told this country a lie? I mean, he'll whisper things to get people believing it. He'll get in your mind. Your mind is a playground. And you know, so many battles are won between right here in the mind. Jesus tells us to guard the mind. Says he's a roaring lion. He talks a lot. And you know, when he roars, he wants you to lay down. Can I tell you, he don't want nobody to raise their hands and shout in the Baptist church. He's a roaring, what's the visitors going to think? Or what's the preacher going to think? I tell you what the preacher's going to think. Preacher's going to fan the flame. I mean, he'll tell you, don't stand up and get excited about Jesus. Now, somebody think you crazy. Boy, he's a roaring. I mean, he is loud. He is very loud. He's looking. But I'm glad he's limited. I'm glad there's only a certain place that he can go. The book of Job, chapter number 1, you remember, God asked him. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, I done been over there. He said, you got a fence around his yard. I can't get in there to where he's at. And so God took the hedge down. There's a big difference in God taking the hedge down and me and you knocking the hedge down. A lot of time we say, come on in my house, devil. You listen to me. You plug your dirty movie in your TV, you know what you're doing? You taking the hedge down, you saying, come on in here, devil. I got room for you, devil. And then you'll find out you ain't got as much room for the devil as you thought you did. We tear our hedge down. We talk ugly with our mouth. We do things when nobody's looking. We may steal or we may lie. We may do something that's against the law of God. And what we're doing, we're putting a gap in our hedge. We're tearing it down and the devil comes right on in town. Now, I don't know about y'all. I got enough devil problem without inviting him into my house. Now, the law exposed. It exposed him. I mean, I could just hear a lot of my good Baptist brethren right now, that sorry rascal. Y'all, I don't know if I'm getting softer. I don't know if it's my grand young'uns doing. I don't know if it's y'all doing. I don't know if it's I'm just tired. But I'm going to tell you, I done found out I just don't near kick as many things as I used to. I try to get people some help without squashing them. You know, it dawned on me one day, these hard sermons I was preaching, I wasn't living them myself. Because it's a lot easier sometimes to be a preacher than it is a Christian. I can tell you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Do I love my wife as Christ loved the church? I can tell you not to talk ugly. Somebody make me mad. Do I ever slip up and talk ugly? Paul said the things I wished I didn't do. He said, I do. I wished I was perfect. But I'm not. And I can just think about a lot of men that's really giving him down the country. A lot of times what we need to take the finger from out there and we need to put it back this way. And we need to think about what are we doing? The law exposed him. You know what? The law's still doing that tonight. It's exposing everybody. How wicked and how vile. Now listen, we got some good people in this church. And I'm going to tell you, morally, I'm a pretty good fella. But I'm going to tell you what, my goodness stinks in the nostrils of God. If it wasn't for the righteousness of Christ, I'd die and go to hell in my sin. The law exposed him. The law exposes you and exposes me. You say, preacher, I've got no problem. What about your temper? What about the things that you should do that you don't do? That's a sin. The Bible says even the things we know to do and we don't do, and therefore it becomes a sin. The law that exposed him. The lion that encountered him. But number 3, look at the Lord that encamped around him. Verse 6, isn't that just like our good God? When we're acting crazy, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He rent him as he would rent him a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. Isn't that just like God? I want to say, number 1, God is a looking. God is listening. And God is loving. Look what he said. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily on him and rent him as he would rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. Samson's doing things that the law says he's not to do, but the good grace of God has stepped in on his benefit. I'm glad the Lord Jesus stepped in on my benefit. Matter of fact, there's a verse that correlates with this in Psalms 34 and verse number 7. And matter of fact, I'm not turned easy on sin, if anybody's wondering. I'm just saying I'm not going to throw rocks. I'm going to keep a preaching about sin, but I'm not going to throw rocks about sin. Amen. And certainly, you'll notice now in Psalms 34 and verse number 7, he says this. He says, the angel of the Lord encampeth. He don't never take up his tent stakes round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Let me show you another psalm. Let's turn to Psalms chapter number 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's where we all ought to be yearning to walk, in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, sounds like to me, he leadeth me. He's ahead of me. Now, verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sounds like to me he's encamping around about those that fear him. Now, don't tell me that you can't get on the wrong track and God help you. Everybody in this building's been on the wrong track and God stepped in to help you. And certainly we find the Lord that encamped him. I'm glad God stepped in on my behalf. Fourthly, not only do we see the law that exposed him, the lion that encountered him, the Lord that encamped him, but look at the lesson that endorsed him in verse number 8. Now watch this. He kills this lion. And by the way, he had nothing in his hand. And verse 8, you ought to underline this in your Bible. And after a time, it took a while, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Isn't it amazing how conflicts bring sweetness? Isn't it amazing that our joys are often found in the former places of our conflicts? Isn't that just like the good God of glory? When this is going on in our life, when this lion is pouncing on us and great afflictions come, we don't see what God's going to bring out of that battle. We don't see, the devil don't show you. He just shows you the roar right now. He's not showing you the honey later. Can I tell you, there is honey on the journey. And some of you are going through things tonight, and you're fighting battles, and you're in dire situations. And I mean, you're doing the best you can do, and it's hard to make it. And he's pounced upon you. But I tell you two things. The Spirit of God's going to be around you, and then something's going to come out of you that's going to be sweet out of this. I don't know what them kids are facing tomorrow, but I can tell you this, something sweet's going to come out of it. So many times in my battles and my conflicts, I said, dear Lord, I don't understand this, but I know God makes no mistakes, and there's going to be something good come out of it. How many times in your bad situation you can look back and see how sweet it is now? Boy, I can look after conflict after conflict after conflict of how bad it was when it was going on. But now I look back and there's honey in it. And you know what he done? And I close with this. Not only the law that exposed him and the lion that encountered him and the Lord that encamped him and the lesson that endorsed him. But look at the life that engaged him. Verse number 9, he took thereof in his hands and he went on eating and came to his father and mother and he gave them and they did eat. But he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. You know what he done? He took it to them. And you'll notice he didn't take that dead carcass. He didn't take his problems and his bitterness. And God's allowed this to happen to me and I'm mad at everybody. You know what he done? He got him two handfuls of sweetness. And he started back out with it, took it to his mom and daddy. You know, that's what every one of us ought to be doing. That ought to be our main focus, is taking something sweet to somebody that needs something out of our conflict. Instead of us telling everybody how bad we've got it, how little our God is and what we've had to go through and what all we've lost to have God. Let me tell you something, folks. God's been good to us. Miss Sherry, I want you to come tonight. I want you to play. And maybe right now you don't realize the sweetness that's going to come out of a conflict. But Samson said, I don't know if you caught it or not, but he said it took a little time. Matter of fact, I was sure to underline that because I know I'll need to go back and read that sometime. Because he turned and he said, after a time, you know what? Sweetness takes time. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to take a dead carcass. I don't want to take nothing that's bad to nobody. I want to take something good to them. I want to tell them about how good Jesus is. My sister plays tonight. I want to open up this altar. Maybe you're in a conflict. Maybe you can't see anything coming out of this that's going to be sweet. But I'm going to tell you something. Out of your conflict, there'll be a sweetness come out of it. Maybe tonight, the law has exposed you and you need grace. I know of no better night than tonight to be saved. Trust the Lord Jesus to save you, to help you. To call up. Isn't that just like God when He ought to have cut our head off? He stepped in and He took over in spite of what we is doing. Tonight, if you want to be saved, you can be, but you'll have to come. Maybe you're here and you just need to talk to the Lord about something. It's your time tonight. But I sure am glad out of our conflicts, God can bring us sweetness. And that's what I want to be taking to people, telling how good God is, how merciful He is, how long-suffering He is, because He makes no mistakes. Some of you, God's entrusted you with children that you couldn't have. That was a great conflict at that time, but boy, hasn't it got sweet to you now. Some of you, you've lost a big battle in your life and you just didn't know how in the world you'd make it. But now you can look back and you see such a sweetness that God's brought out of your conflict. Matter of fact, I had two sitting by me today. I want to thank God for the teachings at Timnath.